We'll open up to John chapter 10 again. I know some of you are going, oh, not another one. Yes. We're still continuing on the works of the Father. Say, how many of these are going to be? You'll find out when I find out. But we're nearing the end. Now, be grateful because I don't know if you know this, but the next lesson in this series is the scourging post. Isn't it odd that we're about to hit January and the next lesson in this series is about fasting? I think the hand of the Lord may be involved in this more than we realize. It just dawned on me yesterday. I was going, oh yeah, okay. Well, last week and for several weeks we've been launching from John chapter 10. And the title of this face-to-face document is The Works of the Father. And really, the mission of this church, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what we've been called to do. And there's other things. We're supposed to all witness. We're supposed to share our testimony. If you see your brother in need, we're supposed to give them food and clothing. And I mean, all of the things of the gospel. But, you know, this church has a mandate. We've been given an assignment from the head of the church. And that assignment is real narrow. And it's to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Now, we're allowed to do other things, but not at the expense of that thing. Well, in order to do that, what he's after is not the kind of revival that I grew up with, you know, where you put signs out by the road in front of the church. Revival starts Friday night at 7, ends promptly Sunday night at 10. Actually, 9, but anyway. You know, we're not talking about that kind of revival. We're talking about the kind where the works of the Father can be demonstrated. Jesus says here in John 10, verse 37 and 38, what if this was the litmus test for every ministry? If I do not the works of my Father, if I don't do them, don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Well, in the course of this, what does he mean by the works of the Father? Well, thank God for the laws of meditation. We backed up to see where this began. It began in John chapter 9, verse 1. The end result, he opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. Born blind. In the history of the world, it had never been said that any man ever opened the eyes of somebody born blind. And you know, with all of our medical advances today, I'm not sure even today it could be done. But see, he says that's the works of the Father. If I don't do them, don't believe what I say. And that, to be honest with you, the world, for the most part, they're not believing what we say. Why? Because we don't demonstrate the works of the Father. Well, not on a regular basis, and not the way Jesus did it. And again, I thank God for every miracle I've seen. I've seen more miracles since we've been attending here than at any other time in my life. But what about those that don't get out of the wheelchair? You know, if Jesus would walk into the room, they'd get out. So he said, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. That means when we walk in the room, they should get out. Okay, we all got our mind going down the right path now. So I've been reading this to you, and then we've been looking. Last week, we took a little journey over into Ephesians. But we're looking at that prayer that Paul prayed, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. I love the way that's phrased, you know. Our understanding would be our mental capacity, our thinking processes. And he says, basically, your thinking is in the dark. God's going to have to give you light. What do you mean my thinking's in the dark? Well, he begins to explain there. And he says, well, you need to understand the power that God has exerted towards you when you became a believer. And it's the same power that he exerted towards Jesus when he quickened him from death to life, raised him to sit at his right hand, and gave him dominion an authority over, not just above, but far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. Then he says in chapter 2, he has quickened us together with him, raised us up together with him, and seated us in that same heavenly place together with him. Which means from God's point of view, we have that same place far above all dominion, principality, power, every name that is named. Jesus is the head, but we are the body. On this earth, you can't have dominion without having a body. You know, Sam Walton, the guy who started Walmart. I mean, by the time he was nearing the end of his life, I don't know how many millions or billions he was worth, but it was a lot. He exercised great dominion. As soon as he left the planet and he no longer had a body here, he didn't get to make any more corporate decisions at all. Well, that's the way it is. See, Jesus has authority in the earth now. Don't drop your prophet rocks. In order for him to exercise dominion here, he has to have a body here. Him having dominion only in heaven is useless on the earth. Well, it is. You've got to have a corporeal, did I say it right? You got to have one of these for the camera. You got to have a body on the earth to have dominion exercised here. Jesus is the head, but we are the body. He has dominion here because he has us here, a body through whom he can flow. That's why the devil's worked overtime, constantly telling us that you're just a worthless slime. You ought to be thankful that God pays any attention to you at all. How can you expect that he would use a worthless dog like you? Oh, it's probably only me that's ever heard that. And that's so opposite from the truth. If this depends on our righteousness, we have no hope at all. And that's why Paul said, who spent his whole life trying to develop his own righteousness according to the law, when he saw the truth, that he could exchange his best efforts, which were still flawed like any human's, he could exchange his righteousness for the righteousness of Christ. He says, I count mine own righteousness but dung, that I might have this righteousness which is by faith in Christ alone. Glory to God. Makes me want to go back and listen to last week's message myself. So we finished up in Hebrews 13. So let's look there real quick, and then we'll launch into today's. Now see, this is a verse. We're going to look at the one you think we're going to look at. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And we use that verse all the time, and it's okay to use it. But because we do lift it out of its setting, hardly anybody, even in charismatic circles, really understands what it means. I mean, if you just leave it like that, well, that's an obvious truth. Jesus Christ is the same. He's eternal. Every Christian knows this. You know, he is God. He is the second member of the Godhead. He's not going to change, not ever. Aren't you glad about that? But see, that doesn't change you. That revelation is about him. It's true, but it's not what the writer of Hebrews is even talking about. And to understand what he's talking about, you got to include it with verse 7. So in verse 7, he says, remember them which have the rule over you. Now, he's not talking about political people there. He's not talking about political leaders. He's talking about the elders, the teachers, the mature ones in the body. Could be apostles, could be pastors, could be bishops, could be elders. But these are ones who have matured to the place, notice, who have spoken unto you the word of God. These are the ones that have been sent and ordained by God. And he says, now think about them. Remember them. Whose faith follow? Why should I follow their faith? Well, I want you to consider the end of their conversation. And he's not talking about their speech there. He's talking about, I want you to see the fruit of their life. I want you to see the end result of their life. What are you going to see? You're going to see the same fruit that was on Jesus' life. Because now he is living his life through them. He is the same. He is the same today, flowing through them as he was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when he walked in his own body. But now he's living his life through them. And you'll notice he is the same. He's still the Savior. He's still the healer. He's still the miracle worker. His life has not been ended. His life has been expanded. All right? Now, you think you've got that, right? Look to somebody. Look close to you. Say, if you want to see Jesus, just look at me. This whole week, you won't see anything different. Maybe he has a little work to do on us yet. Well, I thank God. See, in the denomination I grew up in, there was no hope. Because you'd look in the mirror and know you're a slime. Then they'd go to church and they'd tell you you're a slime. They'd reinforce what you already thought about yourself. Yeah, you'd just be thankful you're saved, and we were. But that's why you never see any power there either. See, right now, part of me wants to go to 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is, as we behold the glory of the Lord, as we behold him in that mirror, see what happens. We are changed into that, I love the way it says it, same image. See, remember last week, the image that's in the seed? I remember the analog days of cassette tapes, you know. If you make a copy of a cassette tape, you lose quality. And if you make a copy of that one, you lose a little more. And if you keep on doing that, pretty soon, that tape, you can't even make out the words on it anymore. Aren't you glad wheat isn't like that? After this many hundreds of years and all those thousands of seasons, if the image in wheat degraded like that, by now, wheat would have no nutritional value at all. But see, God is digital. You can make a copy of a CD and don't lose a thing. You can make a copy of that one, don't lose a thing. Well, God designed his seeds to operate that like that, and the wheat today will produce just like it did thousands and thousands of years ago because the image in it is the same. Jesus said, I am the seed. If I abide alone, there's just one. But if I'm willing to die, give my life for the world, then the fruit of that seed will be many seeds, all of them having the same image, not degraded. There is an image on the inside of you that is the express image of God. It's already in there if you're a believer. We're trying to get it from the inside to the outside. All right, so if you got that in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's really talking about the elders who have matured and us who are on the path of maturity. You got that? So I'm going to read this paragraph that I read, finished up last week with, and then we may finish today. We'll see. So this is on, if you're reading along with me, this is the Works of the Father document, page 5, third paragraph from the bottom. It said, this is the true meaning of the scripture which says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His ministry has not changed, but his ministry is multiplied. His purpose has not changed, but the effectiveness of his ministry has multiplied. Fear not those and hear not those who speak opposing counsel to the intent and purpose of the Father, as revealed in the mind of Christ by the Comforter, whom he has sent forth to instruct and anoint the body. So what has been the result of the enemy's triumph by separating believers from the counsel of the Comforter who proceeds from the throne of the Lamb? What's been the end result? Why has the enemy fought so hard? Well, it's so that the work of man is substituted for the work of the Father. The work of man is substituted for the work of the Father. What he's talking about there are the things man can do because we can't seem to manifest the Father's works. And again, Becky's over here training a seeing eye dog even now. They're wonderful seeing eye dogs. I thank God. If I was a blind person, I would be so grateful to have a seeing eye dog. Wouldn't that be a great good thing? But if Becky offered me a choice, and I have two things, you can have either one. I have a seeing eye dog that you can use, Mr. Blind Person. Or there's a father in me who does certain works. And I can pray in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't need the seeing eye dog because you'll be able to see. Hallelujah. Now, what would you rather have? My seeing eye dog? Or the ability to see? How many thinks are going to choose the seeing eye dog? Same with hearing aids. Same with everything. You know, medicine. Hey, if I need it, I take an aspirin and thank Jesus for it in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'd rather not have the headache. It's better to be healed. Amen. Well, that's what we're talking about. But because we've not been trained by the Spirit, he talks about that broken fellowship there. Because we've not been trained by the Holy Ghost, and the whole church, for the most part, has listened to the doctrines of man instead of the doctrines of God. But the best we can offer is what man can do. And it's better than nothing. But it falls short. And he says that in the next sentence. He says, even when the work of man is done in the name of the Father, you know, like it's got a Christian name over it, well, it still falls short to the point of not being considered when compared to the direct working of the Father by the Spirit. The work of man cannot restore the fallen material realm to the will of the Father, which is in heaven. You just can't do it. Only by the working of the Father, by the Spirit, through the life of Christ in believers, can true restoration be accomplished, says the Spirit of grace. This is the true warning issued to you by the Lord's servant, and this was years ago. Got a word from the Lord. I was standing right about there. It wasn't through Dave, it was through another minister. But it was truly the word of the Lord in speaking to me, warning me personally, because I have a tendency. You know, God has a genuine plan for us all, and so does the devil. You understand what I mean by that? You know, for the lazy man, the devil has a plan. For the workaholic, the devil has a plan. And I needed this early in our ministry. I needed it because I tend to fall on the workaholic side, you know. I'm going to do something to help you. Even if it's all my ideas and all my effort, we're going to do something to help you. So right early on, I was standing right there, and this man of God said, word of warning. You need to say, Lord, I understand. This work is of you and not of man. Boy, that's what we've got to keep paramount in our thinking. Not the things that we can do for him, but the things that he can do through us. The former is good intentions in the name of Christ. The latter is the gospel. The latter is the works of the Father being worked through man. All right, the last paragraph in this document. Now, I left this one in here as a warning to you. It's a little bit embarrassing to me. I could have taken it out. But I felt like you should know that this kind of thing can come if you're going to get serious about praying and listening for His voice? He says, talking to me, He says, I have spoken these things unto you this day, that you may go and consider and ponder them in your heart. Now, as you consider and ponder these things, prepare your heart once more to place all on the altar of the mind of Christ for your life. Here's the part that's the warning. I will meet with you here again tomorrow, and together we will examine your works to see whether they are wrought in God, says the Spirit of grace. Oh, know that you are loved. Boy, I approached that next day with fear and trembling. Gary, are you going to tell us everything that happened? No, I'm not going to tell you. You know, there was a certain thing separated from my life forever that day. It took a while to, you know, when you get a train going, it takes a while to stop it. Well, it took a while. Some of the things that we were doing, some of the paths that we were headed down, I found out weren't God. Some of them I found out were. So it took a while to begin separating those things. Well, that completes this works of the Father document. It's a long one, isn't it? Now I'm going to condense it and we're going to do something. He started that document off saying, I can't even really talk to you these things without bringing you first the mind of Christ. He had to remember how this one started. He started giving me understanding about how Jesus thought as he spent his time in his own body on planet Earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What was his mindset? Then he says, I've got to bring you the mind of Christ as he thinks now, seated in heaven in his glorified body at the right hand of the Father. In other words, until I had some glimpse of how he thinks, the Holy Spirit says, I can't even talk to you about these things. So he talked to me about renewing the mind. And then in the same document, he said, now the other thing that you've really got to keep close is unbroken fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Do you get those two things? Well, 10 years down the road. 10 years. Now here comes the transparency part. I hope this part helps you as much as anything else. I'm telling you right now, it is a whole lot easier to get busy on things for the Lord than it is to work on renewing your mind. And sitting there with your britches epoxied to a chair and continuing to pray in the Holy Ghost. Especially when people say, oh, your teaching is so wonderful. Gary, we love you. You must come. And because my flesh goes, yeah. It's real easy. And you can spend a decade. You know, we traveled some, and I think I'm not saying it wouldn't. You know, I'm not saying all of it was wrong, but it would have been real easy to continue that traveling, where you're, and we could have gotten a lot busier than we did if I'd accepted all the invitations. It's real. Let me say it this way: it's easy to lose a decade doing things for the Lord that are all good. You can justify every one of them. There's only one problem. At the end of every day when your head hits the pillow. Now, how much time today did you spend renewing your mind to think like the mind of Christ? And how much time today did you spend in actual fellowship, you and your Bible and the Holy Ghost praying in other tongues while you read the Word? How much time? Because you think when you start traveling, oh, I'm going to be there and I'll have time then because, you know, I only have meetings twice a day or something like that. And so in between, you know, I'll read the Word and pray. Trust me, trust me, trust me when I tell you. They will have every minute scheduled. I remember that one trip. I'm not going to tell where. I love those people and they mean well. And I mean, I do. I love them. Here I am. I'm thinking I'm going to have time, right? During that one afternoon, I think it was 6 slices of pie I ate. Because they had it all scheduled for me to go to this person's house. And in the South, where you, when you go, I mean, they know you're coming and you're the preacher. They're going to bake you grandmother's pie. I mean, they're going to have the family recipe that's been passed down. And when this little lady has spent all day, you know, fixing you that pie, and they cut you a slice of, it's almost a third of the pie, and they set it in front of you, you're going to eat it. And it was all good, but after about six slices, then it's time to go preach the evening service. Hallelujah. You know. They schedule your time all up, you know. For a person who tends to fall on the workaholic side, the devil has a plan for you. No, he doesn't care. Seeing as long as I still, and again, the Lord did some miracles, you know, but you know and I know, compared to what he's wanted to do, hey, let's not be so hard on Gary. There ain't none of us walking where he wants us walking. I mean, and there's no church in America that I know of where I can take Tommy Perez and they can get him out of the chair. Now, most of you know who that is, but in case you don't, Tommy Perez has cerebral palsy. He's 30-some-odd years old now. I've prayed. Other preachers have prayed. Sue has prayed. Aaron has prayed. On and on. All these different ones have prayed. We've done everything we know to do, you know. And the end result, none of us have been able to get him out of the wheelchair. And I know in my mind, just stop it. You're not going to convince me that if Jesus was somehow able to walk through the wall into Tommy's room, he's not going to get him out of the chair. He is going to get him out of the chair. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Can't blame it on Tommy. He's not responsible. It's us. See? So as I look back over these 10 years, I could stand up here and tell you all the worldwide travels. And God has done things, and I've seen miracles there, and seen miracles here through us. But I know that when I stand before my Lord and give account for the last 10 years, he's going to go, well, it's not that you maybe shouldn't have done some of that. But what did you spend the time that I spent? Where my spirit taught you precisely what to do. Did you obey that? Didn't he tell you about renewing your mind to think like the mind of Christ? Didn't he tell you about the importance of unbroken fellowship and communion with the Holy Ghost? Gary, why didn't you put that first and everything else second? And my answer will be, because I'm a flesh creature that needs mercy. And he'll give it to me, too. But that doesn't help Tommy Perez very much, does it? So during this remaining portion, what I did for you, I took the first part. Here I go, what I did for you. I'm a teacher. I do have a heart to help if I can, okay? So years ago, I took that first part of this document where he was telling me the mind of Christ. Because part of it, he says, I want you to start thinking like he thinks. You're never going to... See, Amos 3:3, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, if he goes into great detail to tell me how Jesus thinks, and he wants me to think the same way, then my thinking is, I don't think Jesus' mind is going to change. My mind has got to change. So I really did this at first for my own use, but now I've made it available for your use. I just went back through that first part of the document where he says, this is the way Jesus thought in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And by the way, that's the pattern for us. And this is how he thinks now, seated at the right hand of the Father, which is his mind for us today. And I just took all those statements and I made them into a positive tense now confession. I should have not let one day go by in the past 10 years where at least once I didn't say these out loud and with great shame and trying to be transparent. I'm counseling you not to let the next 10 years go by that way. Now, these are available at the website in the face-to-face section in written format. You can print them out for yourself. I didn't print copies for here. And if you don't have a computer or don't have access to the internet, you have a friend who does. And if you don't have that, contact me some way. Just give me a note with your name and mailing address. Somehow, those of you write to Gary Carpenter Ministries, P.O. Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74157. We'll send you a copy and not put in a return envelope. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do is, if you don't mind, I'm going to say these and ask you to repeat them after me. So, say, I agree with Jesus of Nazareth. I and my Father are one. Christ is my life. I am born of the Spirit of Christ. I have no life apart from the life of Christ. My meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. I have no plan, no agenda, no will of my own, apart from my Father's will, who sent me. I and my Father are one. Now see, in your mind, if you're new to making this type of confession, part of you might be screaming, but that's a lie. I know I do have plans and agendas of my own, and I'm not sure if they're the same as the Father's. Well, see, this is part of the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Two things he had to learn about God. You can look at it later in Romans 4. He had to learn two things. Number one, God quickens the dead. Number two, God calls those things which be not as though they were. And it was God who taught Abram to change his name to Abraham before he ever had a child, so that every time he even declares who I am, he says, I am the father of a multitude. When in the natural, at that moment, he didn't even have one child. So it's part of God's plan for changing us is to find his will and get us agreeing with his will. Part of that is making confession like Abraham did. I know that you have plans. I do too. But I'm calling something different. I'm calling myself to agree with the mind of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, those words affected Abraham's faith. And by affecting his faith, it released the power of the Holy Spirit to change what is to what shall be. All right, well, right now we're not seeing the works of the Father to the degree that we want. But if we'll change what we say and give the Holy Spirit these words, we lose that same power to change what is to what shall be. And we'll see the works of the Father demonstrated. So let me continue the next paragraph. It says, I am born of my Father. I am born from above. I am born of the Spirit of my Father. I and my Father are one. The life of Christ is in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Christ Himself. I have life within me. My Father has anointed that life with His own Spirit. The life of Christ is in me. And the Father's Spirit has anointed that life with dominion. Now meditate on that for a minute. Meditate on that. Walk around going, He's in there. The life of Christ, it's in there. It's in there. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that same Holy Ghost that descended upon Christ at the baptism of John has descended upon that life that's within you. We've been sent on the same mission to seek and to save the lost and to go about doing good. How would we do it? By healing all those that are oppressed by the devil. For God, and that means God the Holy Ghost, is with us. Sue likes this. I like her. We had our 33rd wedding anniversary Friday. Hallelujah. Thank you. Two things on this planet I know. Jesus loves me. And Sue loves me. And I'm real grateful they do, both of them. Alright. Let's say it this way. My Father's Spirit is in me. And upon me. To manifest my Father's will. Now see, get that part straight. He's not expecting you to do it. What did Jesus say? The Son of Himself can do nothing. See, that takes all the burden off of you, doesn't it? He doesn't expect me to get Tommy Perez out of the chair, no. He's trying to get you to where we'll let Him do it through us. See? Hey, the day's going to come, and I know this because He told me. The day will come, we'll look back on these days and laugh that we ever thought it was so hard. Boy, revival has come then. And it will spread then. Hallelujah. My Father has sent me into His garden to dress it and to keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from Christ, who is Lord of all, and the power of my Father's Spirit to restore all the damage this enemy has done, and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. I must be about my Father's business. I have been sent in the name of Jesus that all things be restored to my Father's original intent and original purpose for man. I am a vessel for the life of Christ. I am a vessel for my Father's will. I am a vessel for my Father's dominion. I am a vessel through whom the Father works. By the life of Christ within me and the Holy Spirit's power upon me. I am a vessel through whom the Father works to restore all things to His will. I am a vessel of Christ's authority. Now these words are sounding good, and I know your spirit man is doing flip-flops, and your soul may be even doing its best to grasp a little of it. But let me give you a 10-year perspective. You can say this once in a while like that, and it seemed like, you know, have a very nice time, kind of like what we're having right now. Then you get the call. So-and-so is in the hospital. There's been a terrible accident. They're clinging to life by a thread. And they've asked for you to come pray. And you walk into that room, and maybe the relatives are there, and the atmosphere is charged with unbelief. And every devil in hell is doing its best to drag that life out of that person. Now you've come. And normally that'll be a day that you yelled at your friends and had a flat tire and got a pink slip from your job or something. You know what I'm saying? Everything in the world would make you look like a victim that day. And now you've been sent. And if your emotions and your own thought patterns dominate you, need I go any further? I'm trying to help. I'm trying to make the next 10 years not be like the last 10 years. And I'm telling you, getting these out once in a while and blowing the dust off and saying them won't get it done. I can't help but do this because my friend Steve is sitting right over here, and I know that he works in a certain firm, and he has great responsibility for that firm in the area of finances. And Steve is good at his job, and he knows he's good. I've talked with him. And he should be confident. When he wakes up in the morning, "I am a man whom my employer can trust with money." And it's true. And he doesn't try and build himself up every morning before he goes to do his job. In other words, he's absolutely convinced that's who he is. And he functions in that. See, and I know what he does. You do something, and you're the same way. I don't care if it's a mother or a housewife or whatever it is. But see, he's trying to transition us from something that we are confident in now to something that we're not very confident in. That takes a process. That requires change. That's why he went through the effort, if you'll allow me, of giving me the mind of Christ like this, so I can work on my mind to agree. See, I'm sure Jesus didn't get up in the morning and make confession. I and my Father are one. I'm sure he did not do that. But see, Jesus was trained from a child. You know, he is unique. His mind is unique. He was never born with a death nature like we were. So he didn't have to go through a renewal process. He was taught from the get-go the ways of truth. We're going through a renewal process. I myself did not get born again until I was 33 years old. And I was, like it said about Zacchaeus, you know, he was the chief publican. I felt like I was the chief sinner. 33 years of sin. 33 years of experiences in a fallen world where everything you see goes opposite to what God's Word says. Then, all of a sudden, now I'm a man of God and supposed to operate with the mind of Christ. You've got to be kidding. Now, my spirit went from death to life instantly. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Can the leper change his spots? No. Can God change it? Yes. He quickened my spirit, that dead old spirit in me, from death to life. But I found out finally, it took forever for it to dawn on my lightning quick mind what Paul was saying in Romans 12:2. If you're not going to be conformed to the world, it doesn't come by the renewing of your spirit. It comes by the renewing of your mind. And if we're not going to walk like the world walks, buddy, it's going to take some work. It's going to take a transformation. I pray the day comes when we don't have to get up and make our confessions, because we know who we are. All I'm talking about is that renewal process. Glory to God. Gary, that's good preaching. I know it. I'm going to listen to this myself. It's good. Telling you right now, the strongest devil in America, I don't know about other countries. People laugh when I say this, but I'm serious as a box of rocks, which is very serious. Especially if they're planning on throwing them at you. It's very serious. The name of the devil that's strangling the church is his name. I don't have to ask his name. Come, what is your name? His name is Samo. Samo. Because, I know right now the Spirit of the Lord, he's got your attention. You know, I can almost hear your minds digesting this. You know, yes, yes, yes. See? But I also know that devil of Samo's coming tomorrow. Same old job. Same old people that was ugly to you last week, going to be ugly to you tomorrow. Oh, and it's Christmas time. You got all your shopping done? No, still got shopping to do. You know, whatever. Same old, same old, same old. Well, I am going to work on that renewing my mind thing. I'm going to download that and print that, like Gary said, because I have a computer and it's hooked right up to the internet. I can go print it right now, but I'll do it after I get back from shopping today. And then after I fix supper. And I'm so wore out, I'll do it tomorrow morning. And then 10 years later, I teach this series again. And you're going, where did that 10 years go? That's not going to happen. I declare it in Jesus' name. I rebuke the devil of Samo. We are no longer ignorant of his devices. First things first. Hallelujah. You say this after me. He says, I am Christ's agent of authority on earth.
I am Christ's agent of authority.
The Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power. The Holy Spirit and I, we co-labor together to bring the will of the Father from heaven to earth. We work together in order that all things be restored to the original intent and purpose of the Father. There is no division between me and the Holy Spirit. Let's just say that one more time. There is no division between me and the Holy Spirit. Because he's bringing this back to my mind now. I need to expound on that a little bit. This was years ago. We had a young man who's serious about God, moved from another part of the country to attend this church in order to be trained, because he was hungry for the things of God. And he was doing pretty well, but one day he come to me and he says, Brother Gary, he says, I just got a problem. He says, I just can't hear God. In other words, there's a division. I just can't hear God. And the Holy Spirit, immediately, I heard this question on the inside of me, so I asked him. I said, well, when was the last time you know for sure you disobeyed him? You heard him and disobeyed him. He said, I guess that would be Friday. Well, what happened Friday? Oh, me and a bunch of buddies, you know, we were just going to go see this movie. And he said, it wasn't a bad movie or anything really wrong with it. I didn't, you know, feel like it was sin to go see it. But we were, you know, discussing going to see it. And I heard the Lord say on the inside of me, now just let them go. I want you to go to the church and pray. And I said, well, what did you do? Well, I went to the movie with my friends. I said, young man, I said, you don't have a problem hearing God. You have a problem obeying God. And we all do. See, and the problem is the same place in us where we hear the Holy Spirit speak is the same place in us where we hear the new nature give its counsel. Green light, don't do that. Red, you know, green light, red light, this is okay, that's not okay. And if we don't want to be led by the new nature, and we constantly reject that, then we go, it's not that the new nature ever quits talking to us, but what happens is, it says we callous our own heart. We callous that place in us. It's like nailing boards over a door. And that's the same door. Say, well, I don't want to listen to righteousness, but I do want to be led by the Holy Ghost. Honey. Both those voices come through the same door. You can't, if you board up the one and by continually disobeying it, pretty soon you just don't hear it anymore. And if you don't hear it anymore, you're not going to hear the Holy Ghost either, because he speaks to us in the same through the same door. Gary, do you perfectly obey God? You've got to be kidding. We're all real here, okay? Gary, do you want to give us a percentage where you think? Are you think I'm crazy? I told you about that one minister. He says, the Lord asked him, where do you think in your maturity level you really are with me? And at that instant, he saw a thermometer against the back wall, you know, from 0 to 100, floor to ceiling. He says, being a humble man, I answered the Lord back with a number a little lower than where I thought I was really walking. And you could tell by the way he did his hand. It was somewhere, you know, 75, 80%, something like that. And he says, as soon as he said that, a light started flashing 2 inches off the floor. Well, that's probably all of us, except Dave. That's probably all of us. But how are we ever going to change? Well, part of it is calling those things which be not as though they were. We've got to, our mind has at least got to agree with what he says. We have to say about us what he says about us. So if I understand that there's probably divisions right now between me and the Holy Spirit, but there sure wasn't between Jesus. And he's trying to get us to the place where there's none between us. So let's have that faith of Abraham and say it again. There is no division between me and the Holy Spirit. We are unified in purpose and motivations regarding all things. I never attempt ministry without the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as ministry apart from the Spirit of my Father. The fallen natural realm cannot be restored to the will of my Father without the working of the Father's Spirit. It's unthinkable to me that my Father's Spirit will not work in order to restore the Father's will in the earth. I receive instruction from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit. I obey those instructions. And the Holy Spirit performs the will of the Father every time, without exception. What could be more simple? I do nothing of myself. I am under no obligation, nor under any compulsion to do anything except what I receive from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit each day. Now, we've got to say that one again. I'm going to phrase it a little different. I don't want to chop it up so much where your mind loses the flow. I am under no obligation nor any compulsion to do anything except what I receive from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit each day. Now, parentheses. He's not talking about your job. He's talking about ministry. You understand that? You do not need a rhema word from God to do your laundry. I remember Dave talking about that prophet that was going to stay at their house, you know. And that prophet tells Rosalie, I'm so led by the Holy Ghost. I don't even wash my clothes unless the Spirit leads me. Boy, I can just hear Rosalie. She says, well, that may be fine and well, but as long as you stay under this roof, you will wash your clothes when I tell you. God told me one time, even in these face-to-face, He says, you do know that I'm trusting you to have enough sense to change the oil in your car. I went, oh. He's talking about ministry here. You know, He's talking about ministry. Okay. He says, I understand that I am on the earth to do the will of my Father in the name of Jesus. I also understand that I'm not on the earth to do my own will, cloaked and veiled in the name of Jesus. There is a vast difference. Now he's talking about ministry. I am free from all programs that can be devised by the carnal mind. I'm not under obligation to do work in the name of Jesus Christ. He has not called me to minister to the people myself. He has called me to be the vessel through whom He can minister to the people Himself. I am a vessel through whom my Father works by the life of Christ within me, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. My Father fills my vessel with Himself in order that He may extend His hand to touch the people by the Holy Spirit. I am under no obligation, nor under any compulsion, to venture forth into ministry. He's not talking about full-time ministry, by the way. He's talking about any ministry. Until I have received the will, the mind, the plan, and the counsel of Jesus Christ in completeness by the Holy Spirit. Now, this next sentence is vitally important. This is where we're going to quit. It says, I am not a worker for my Father. See, that sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? To the religious mind, you go, what? 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 But you got to hear the next sentence. It says, I am a vessel through whom my Father can work by the power of His own Spirit. And there is a vast difference between those two mindsets. 2 minutes. Now let me just sum it up again. 10 years. The Lord has, there's many things He's asked me to do. One of the things was to digitize all of the lessons that we had. We had them in audio cassette form, and we had to input, and we had to digitize those and get them into MP3 format. And at the time, we had no one within our reach that knew how to do it. I had to learn how to do it. Kyle, in those days, was helping me learn how to do it. And it took like 2 years. I mean, Sue can tell you, I was a slave to the computer from dawn till 9 o'clock at night most days, converting and first just learning how to do it, trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. It's not that He won't have you do it. See, Jesus has no body to come down, no physical body to come down and tap those computer keys. He has to have somebody willing to do that. But now, trust me when I say, He's going to ask you to do things that are very time-consuming for Him. But at the same time, and He needed me to do it. But you can't spend your life forever doing those kind of things and never spending that time of renewal like we just did, where He can renew your mind and train you Himself by the Holy Ghost. Because there's still a difference between tapping computer keys and driving cancer away in the name of Jesus. So we're supposed to not do one or the other. We're supposed to do both. Workaholics tend to concentrate on what? Okay, Gary, my biggest failing in the past 10 years is spending too much of my time on what Gary can do instead of renewing myself to the truth of what he can do through Gary. Trust me. You need his help. The world needs his help. Let's concentrate on putting first things first. Now, those confessions is called agreeing with the mind of Christ. They're at the website in the face-to-face section. I think they're also in the printed document section. I encourage you, print them, work at them, say them many times, pray in the Holy Ghost. One day we're going to wake up and be that. Amen. Not be trans. Right now we're in the process of being renewed to it. We're going to walk in it because that's who we are.